Service in the month of March. And I'm going to tell you now that we're recording this session on Friday because the weather forecast shows us being hit with a mixture of rain and sleet and ice and snow, and so we're not really for sure what's going to happen. And the problem with that is that we're up on a mountain here, and there are a lot of our folks who can't get up here in that kind of weather. So Rabin Bird and I are here today at the Research Center, and we decided to go ahead and record this Sunday session for you guys who are with us in our Sunday sessions. And there are many of you that are, and these things are watched, you know, across this country and in other countries as well. And we really hate to have to, if we cancel a service here because our folks can't get here, we hate to cancel the service for you that are with us on the internet. So anyway, that's what we're doing today. If everything clears up somehow or another and we're able to gather together here on Sunday, well, then we'll still be having our Sunday service, and then I'll be talking to you live. But I'm going to continue right where we are, and we have been dealing with the reality of being in Christ. The reality of being in Christ. Our union with Christ. Now, I've been dealing with that somewhat on these Sunday sessions, and then some of our other brethren have been taking some of the sessions as well, and that's how we do it here. And I've been doing with these with that union on our monthly CDs. Tremendous union of our salvation. Tremendous union with regard to our salvation. And let me just read something here in Ephesians 1, because, hon, this union that we have with our Father in, by, through the indwelling Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, is absolutely amazing. And it is a view of salvation that, unfortunately, many believers, to which many believers have not come. And, but it is the view that God has always had, and it is the view that is the heart and soul of what the new covenant is all about. I will be their God. I will walk in them. I will live in them. And on that goes. And that's part of the new covenant, of which Christ himself is the substance. Christ himself is that substance. It's a covenant that has been determined and bound up, locked up in the Father and the Son from before the foundation of the world. reading in Ephesians 1:4. Actually, I'll begin there at verse 3. Just quickly. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But now look at this. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And honey, that's all spiritual fullness. That's all of the everything of our salvation. All spiritual blessings in heaven in Christ. And it's the term in Christ, of course, that I'm after there. But it is done accordingly what he hath done. And Paul is declaring this to the church 2,000 years ago. This is what he hath done. But he 2,000 years ago is when Paul was declaring this. But he was reaching back. He was reaching back beyond 2,000 years ago. He was reaching back to from before the foundation of the world. According as he hath chosen us in him. That is, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. How does that happen? And having predestinated us, foreknown us, predetermined us unto the adoption of sons by and see, we can't just stay here, but by Jesus Christ to himself. Again, such a union, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Christ Jesus to himself. According to the good pleasure of his will. But not only that, to the praise of the glory of his grace. And indeed, what a grace it is. What a grace it is. Christ himself being the fullness and obviously the full measure of that grace. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Which answers what I was saying a while ago. That we should be holy without blame before him in love. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Wherein, in that grace, he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, I'm not going any farther with this except to point out that God's view of our salvation and that salvation which gathers up into its meaning the grace of God, the love of God, the purpose of God, the will of God, the good pleasure of God, all of this gathered up, fulfilled, and presented to us in the person of the Son, which in whom, by the grace of God, we now dwell. Verse 11 of that same, and I'll read it and go on. In whom, in Christ, also we have obtained an inheritance. In Christ. And this is not a theory. Being in Christ is not some kind of doctrinal positioning. It is a union with Him. And that's what we're talking about. I know to say a union with Him doesn't explain anything, but that's what we've been doing in some of these sharings. In whom? Think about that. Our salvation is a living salvation. Our expectation, our hope, which is fulfilled in Christ, is a living expectation. Everything about it is living because everything about it is found in whom? It's found in Christ. The inheritance is a living inheritance because it is found in Christ, who, of course, is in you, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. What a union. What a union we have in Christ Jesus. Now, everything that is ours in Christ is worked in our very heart and soul through Christ is the conduit of it. Through Christ in our very heart and soul. What a tremendous thing. What a tremendous thing. So just having read that, in John 14, verse 20, we should all have it really memorized by now. Because Jesus is here speaking about the day of His coming to dwell in believers. Basically, the day of His coming to dwell in His body, the church, the representatives of which, in fact, the body of which, was waiting on that coming on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is not so much a fulfilled Jewish festival. The day of Pentecost is a fulfilled promise given of God concerning our salvation and concerning the covenant that He hath determined. I will live in them, walk in them, I will be their God, they shall be my people. On and on that goes. Great expectation given under the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament writings. But it's fulfilled in Christ. So Jesus is saying to them in John 14, in that day, your King James Bible will say, I'm sure, at that day, but it's, no, it's in that day. In that day. Which is an endless day. Which is an endless day. It is a day who is as endless as the one who is the substance of that day, the light of that day, and the light of that day is the glory of God, and Christ Himself is the brightness of God's glory. It is in Him that the Father is glorified. So in that day you shall know. Here is the knowing of that day. I think John has to be looking at this in his heart when he was caught up by the Spirit of God, how it is recorded there in Revelation. But in his first epistle, by this same Spirit of God, he says, this is the gospel, this is the message that we give, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. And if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his Son cleanses us from all sin. It is the light of that day. You shall know I in my Father, you in me, and I in you. There's the union that we've been talking about. And I've been using a lot of time on the first aspect of that. You shall know I am in my Father. You shall know I in my Father. You shall know me as one who is in my Father. And that can go on and on and on in our search. But that's where union begins. It begins with his union with the Father. Indeed, if the one who had come out in order to come down had not returned into that very union that he left, into that very glory that he left, then we would have no salvation at all, because our salvation is in him. Tremendous union here. And the second phrase of that shows us accepted in the beloved. Shows in whom we have an inheritance. Shows and you in me. I and my Father, you in me. And that's where we are directly referred to as having to do with this union. We've been brought in to a tremendous union, even the union of the Father and the Son. No, we're certainly not the Father, and we're certainly not that Son. But we are those who, by the grace of God, have that Son living in us, and we dwelling in him. What a tremendous union. And you see, right there, what I just said, it flies beyond my natural understanding to even imagine something like that. And for years I've dealt with folks who have tried to understand that in their natural mind. And it's just such a shame, because many have come up, and I use the word many because it is true, have come up seeing themselves having some kind of deity. But that isn't what this is talking about. We, by the grace of God, we, by the Spirit of Christ, are brought in to his union with the Father, whereby through his death we are dead. By his living union with the Father, Our life is hidden in Christ, in God. You read that in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. Paul says there, seeing then. Now, King James says, if then ye be, but you know Paul's not asking a question there. It's just written in the way that Old English would write it, but it actually means seeing then that ye are raised with Christ. In other words, you're sitting in Christ in heavenly places. That's what we read Paul saying, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heaven in Christ Jesus. And so Paul is saying there in Colossians, seeing then that you are raised up in Christ, seeing then set the very, I'm going to use a term that I used with a brother the other day, set the very spirit of your mind, set the very spirit of your heart, set the very center, the very focus, the very eyes of your heart and understanding on things above. Not on things on the earth. For you are dead as to all of that. You are dead, and I'm not just talking about the natural scenery out here either. No, no, much, much different than that, much more than that. For you are dead, your life is hidden in Christ, in God. It's written there in the King James, your life is hidden with Christ in God. And that's not a bad translation, but it's better and to use the term in, which is how we can use it there, in Christ. Accepted in the Beloved, in Christ, same word, in God. And it is such a union by the Spirit of God. It is a spiritual union, an eternal union. So much so that he goes on to say, whenever and whenever, King James says when, the word in the Greek is whenever, Christ, who is our life, shall appear. And he's not talking about some far-off event whenever, because he's talking to people that he has just got through saying, your life is in Christ. Christ is in you. If you look at the letter to the Colossians and Ephesians, he's talking to those that are in Christ and says, you'll understand what that means. You'll understand that because you will actually, with the eyes of your soul, see that reality as it is in Christ. You will see your union with Him. When He appears, you shall, the word there is emphatically used, you shall appear. That's a tremendous word. Also, where? Right where you are, with Him in glory. Glory is not a place here, it's a reality of Christ. Glory is not some location. Well, it's a reality of Christ in you. I could say that, well, it's good in every location, but the location is in Christ, where you and I are found of God. Paul says that in another place, another one of his epistles. Paul says, to be found. It's in Philippians, the third chapter. To be found in Christ. To be found in Him, in Christ. Not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is the faith of Jesus Christ. And I don't know why some commentators change that and say, which is our faith in Jesus Christ. It's like me believing in Him. Well, I'm not saying that's wrong to do. I'm not saying that we don't do that. But I'm saying this, we believing in Him according to His believing. According to His understanding. There it's talking about the faith of the Son of God. There's no doubt about that. I'm not just adding that. That's the faith He's talking about. And in the very next sentence He says, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. See, hon, because you and I are in Christ, everything of our salvation is Christ. Because the third aspect, the third term of verse 20 in John 14 is, and I in you. You can't separate our being in Christ and Christ being in us, because one is, I want to say one is the reality of the other, but that's not really a good term either. One is the substance of the other. Our union with Christ is because Christ is in us. We are in Him because He is in us. But there is a reality in our being in Christ that too many, way, way too many believers simply do not comprehend. And they don't comprehend it because it's not presented as it should be. Certainly not presented as often as it should be. I mean, you can hardly get out of any part of any one of Paul's epistles without that reality being spoken, without reading. I mean, everything that Paul says about our salvation, he brings it right in Christ. It is our union with the Son of God, Christ, who liveth in us. He doesn't just live in us. We live by that union in Him. I found a workbook, and I was looking at it yesterday, and there's a heading to it. And the heading is Living by Christ, Living in Us. I sat and looked at that. I don't know. That's out of the workbook we have here, The High Calling of God. And I've been using this in our monthly CDs, our union with Christ. But I read that and I thought, my, that's a good way to say that. Living by Christ, living in us. This is what Paul says. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. Living by Christ, living by Christ living in us. Living by Christ living in us. Hallelujah. It is a living union, darling, to which we have come in Christ Jesus, and it is a reality that must come to fill our souls. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we still, you that I'm talking to, and we still walk around on this earth, and we still see and hear and touch and all of that. A world in which we really have no life, in which our life is not found. We are here walking on earth, living in Christ. And unfortunately, so many believers understand so much more about the earth we walk on than they do of Christ in whom we live. All right, let me continue then. The reality of being in Christ. In the Father's view, I think this may be where I stopped the other day, or one of the Sundays ago. In the Father's view, He has brought things from the hope to the substance. He has brought things from the promise to the gift Himself living in you. He has brought things out from the past, which always look to the future. He has brought things into what at one time was the future and now is present. That make any sense? Because there isn't another creation coming. There isn't another salvation coming. Everything that was spoken of by the prophets in whatever way they spoke. Now this is certainly including Moses. And all that he wrote himself in the Pentateuch, in the first five books of the Bible, and all that he said and all that he taught, right on down to Abraham. He has brought all of that to substance. No wonder the writer of the Hebrew letter, more than likely Paul, but the writer of the Hebrew letter, describes faith as being the substance of things hoped for. Because God gave it that way. In the things that he gave them in hope. He gave them as an expectation. Christ in you is that living, that expectation has come to life. Christ in you, the expectation of glory. It doesn't even in that setting mean of a glory that is yet to come. No, of the glory that has come and now dwells in you. That's what the whole thing is about. That's what Paul's whole letters are about. He's trying to bring the Jews from the hope of the letter to the reality of the Spirit. And when he goes to the Gentiles, then he most certainly does that. I mean, he preaches the same gospel to them because he's talking to them about the same salvation that he did when he tried to talk to the Jews and tried to preach to them. And their only answer to that was do their living best to kill him and get rid of him. But the point is, the Father has brought things from hope to substance. His desire is now not to give us another promise, darling, but to open the eyes of our understanding to the promise he has fulfilled. And that fulfillment is in his Son. So what is he going to do except show you the Son? In his allness, in his greatness. I mean, he has to show you the one in whom he has gathered together all things. He has to show you the one who is indeed himself the very finished work of God. The one who came to finish it, the one who finished it and returned to the Father and then come anew to live in his body, the church, you and I. Well, in showing us the salvation of the Lord, the Spirit of God shows us the Lord. That's what makes it a living salvation, not another doctrine. Not another form of belief. I mean, even if it's a right form, it would still be dead unless it was a person living in us. The very person of Christ himself. The very brightness of God's glory. The very person of God's, express person of God's own image. No wonder he says, you'll know I am in my Father. You'll understand and see my union with the Father. And that you are in me. Oh, it's almost too much to even talk about. It really is. And it's certainly too much. Well, you know, I started to say it's certainly too much to try to understand in the natural, but then what isn't? Nicodemus was a sharp guy, well taught. Some have compared him to the very status, the same education and all of that of the Apostle Paul, and as when he was Saul of Tarsus and a Pharisee of the Pharisees and all of that. And he may well have been. He was a ruler among the Jews. And yet, honey, he had absolutely no, zilch, none, zero understanding of new birth. Nothing of our salvation can be understood by the natural man. And it's a shame. It's a shame that it has to be watered down so much and dispensationalized so much. In order that people can have a natural understanding of what is presented to them as salvation. And then come up with salvation that can only be related to sin. So that salvation then is preached and taught and understood to be a way out of sin and a way into heaven. Jesus said to the Jews, "I know you search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, but you won't come to me that you may live." Hun, Paul did, the apostles did, and by the grace of God, we do also. Do what? We present a life, eternal life, a union, eternal union in Christ, not to come, but that has come when He came to indwell those who were His. New birth. New birth. See, Nicodemus, I don't know. How can I, you know his question, how can I get back into my mother's womb, a grown man, and be born all over again? He understood at least that Jesus was talking about a birth of some kind. But the Lord Jesus was talking not about natural births or another natural birth. Not at all. But that which is spirit. Well, hon, don't you think that a salvation that is spirit, spirit and truth, don't you think that that salvation, the understanding of it must also be given by the Spirit? Isn't that what Paul says in 1 Corinthians, most particularly the second chapter? And he said it really, really, I mean, he used great emphasis because the Corinthians were so carnal-minded. They were. Through that whole letter you find, I don't care what spiritual aspect of salvation they were faced with, they were carnally minded concerning it. Well, let's continue. In the Father's view, He has brought all things from the hope to the substance. You know, the one who is the substance of hope was also the hope. I mean, God never gave a hope that wasn't focused in His Son. He never gave a promise to which the Son Himself was not the absolute substance thereof. He never gave a testimony by any means whatsoever. Call it type, call it shadow, call it dark sayings, call it what you want to call it. Spake to the fathers by the prophets, whatever. He never did that except His focus always upon the Son. When He told them to take a lamb, who was He looking at other than the Son Himself? It's always been that way with the Father. When he gave a high priest, who was He looking at except the Son Himself? It was a type and shadow, a testimony. Always, everything given of God in hope, in expectation. When He dealt with the theme of resurrection. It was always the resurrected Son that he was talking about, not some resurrected man or even resurrected mankind. It was always the Son. And therefore it was fulfilled in the Son. In God's view, it was fulfilled in the Son before he ever said it. Finally, what happened was the time came to make it manifest. And that's why Paul says that was a mystery, that which was hidden from ages, God hath made manifest. He didn't make it different. He didn't make it different. He just manifested what the natural mind could not understand. Hath made manifest. And that work of the Spirit, hon, still goes on to this day in the heart and lives of believers who do have a heart to know their self, to know more than just doctrinal viewpoints about anything, whose soul is crying to know the living, indwelling Son of God beyond their natural ability. That's a cry that's there. And so few times do most believers hear anything that would speak to that cry. So many times they're just told, well, one day when we all get in heaven, one day then you'll understand. But that isn't true. Because the Spirit of God is in you now. He has brought us to that fulfillment in his Son. That fulfillment wherein, and I now quote, the Spirit reveals all things, yea, the deep things of God, 2 Corinthians. And I think this, I think I've already said this one, but 2 Corinthians 3, 14 through 18, but actually it's in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And it's revealed, yes, true, to those who have a heart to know. But the shame of it is we have believers today. I mean, sweet, sweet people. I've met them all over the world, and some others have met them all over the world too. But I've met them throughout the body of Jesus Christ, who are still living in the same understanding of hope and in the same expectation of old covenant saints. They're still looking for something new to come, and he has already come. Not only come somewhere, no, he has come in you and has gathered you into that coming. He has gathered you into that reality. He has gathered you into himself, and you in me. Blessed be the Lamb of the living God. But so many simply have not yet come to see themselves in Christ. Unfortunately, they see themselves as captives in this world, looking for a way out, still waiting for God to fulfill His promise, because they're looking with the natural eye and trying to understand spiritual reality with natural mind. And so, in that situation, we look for God to fulfill what He's already fulfilled in His Son. Exodus 15:17 is fulfilled in the Son. In the Son. I mean, Jesus talking to His disciples, and that's who He was talking to, just laid out the fulfillment of Exodus 15. The whole thing, but particularly that statement, Exodus 15:17. It's already fulfilled in the One who also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." See, typically, and in type and shadow, Israel was about to walk in the way, the truth, the life, in type and shadow. They were about to take a journey. And there is that journey in Christ, but it is a journey walking in the light as He is in the light. It's not a journey getting someplace where we are not. It is a journey coming to see that place where we are. And walking in the light and living in the light and standing in the light. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. In that day you will understand, I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I'm in you. And it is this reality of being in Him that we are spending this time dealing with and talking about. Blessed be the Lamb of God. And in these little meditations, I just want to stir up our hearts and minds to the reality of salvation. God's view of salvation is having you and I in Christ, whom He hath chosen us from before the foundation of the world, in whom we are accepted of God in the Beloved. Why? Because there it is not I. There it is Paul saying, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It is not Paul here living his life. You want to read about Paul living his life, then read Romans 7, the last part of Romans 7. There's Paul living his life under the law, living his life trying to find righteousness. Read that. The end of that life was, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, now hear this. I am crucified with Christ. There's your deliverance. I am crucified with Christ. There is your deliverance. Nevertheless, I live. Living in Christ by Christ living in us. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Christ liveth in me. Well, blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. I think time is probably gone. If it isn't, we'll stop right here anyway. And then we'll continue later. Our salvation. Salvation of our soul. May the Lord our God, by the eternal Spirit, enlighten the eyes of our understanding, and He will, to the heart that cries out and says, "Oh, Father, I want to see your salvation. I want to see the one who lives in me. Darling, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us sight inwardly, hearing inwardly, knowing inwardly. A heart, the spirit of which is renewed inwardly, being led by the Spirit of God, who leads us, guides us in Christ Jesus, inwardly, in truth, in light, in reality. My word. What a salvation. All right. If there's any way we can be of help to you, please don't hesitate to let us know. We love to hear from you in your communications and through phone calls, emails, handwritten letters, whatever. Please let us know. If there's any way that we can more adequately or in another way maybe reach out, please let us know. And I want to thank each one of you and tell you how much we appreciate you who are able to do so and are led by the Lord to do so, to support and to help us with this outreach, the one we're using right now, the one which continually grows. We appreciate your support here at the Bible Research Center in being able to reach out to you and to believers throughout the body of Christ and around the world. Thank you very much. May the Lord richly bless you. All right. Amen.